Me and different Mabel took a summer vacation to the place where green trees with the rivers and lakes, and it's where tourists come to see mysteries that thrill, all locked up in a shack that we work until our great Uncle Sam has got a plan to make.
Greetings, salutations, Ring of Honor fans. We here at the Podcast of Honor are bringing you our Border Wars Spectacular. Ring of Honor are going north of the border, but this podcast is coming to you worldwide because I'm Matt Waters. I host this shindig, and I am based primarily, entirely, physically out of the United Kingdom. It's also taking place in both coasts of the state, East Coast, Least Coast, according to some people. I don't know how true that is, but out of New York City, Ari Bernstein, how is it going, my friend?
It's going okay. Tell me, do you know the circumference of an isosceles triangle?
Yep. Chris is from the West Coast. Some say the best coast. I sidestep problems by just ignoring them, just to clarify that. But yeah, Chris, GSD.
That's the answer.
Well, there you go. There you go. I knew all of this back when I needed to know it a few years ago when exams and stuff were an issue, but now when my biggest problem every day is my section in the store untidy, I don't need to know that. Anyway, Chris, things that we need to know about you are you doing okay, buddy?
I'm doing great out here on the West Coast. I'm not going to say that it is the best coast, but it is. It's pretty awesome to me. And I'm looking forward, not to underscore our awesome podcast here, but I am really looking forward to tomorrow where I will be seeing Iron Man 3. So that's what we really should be talking about.
I have seen Iron Man 3 because I live internationally, and we get stuff earlier than you now for some weird reason.
Yes, so no spoilers, Matt, no spoilers.
I hear that Iron Man puts on a suit of armor at sometime during this.
Damn it, Ari!
I can neither confirm nor deny these reports. What I can confirm, though, for sure, is Jay Briscoe is the Ring of Honor World Championship, and we were all wrong in our preview.
Not all of us. Not all of us.
Completely wrong in our previews. And most of us were like, wouldn't it be funny if Jay won? No, but seriously, Steen's winning. And then Jay won. So, Jay Briscoe.
How about that?
After all those title shots, after all those... Oh, it'd be funny if he ever actually won, wouldn't it? He actually has, and he's the Ring of Honor World Champion, and it was well received, and I'm happy for him. I never objected to the idea of it, I just didn't think they'd ever pull the trigger, but they have. And a Briscoe is a world champion, so I don't know, 2012's been and gone, but it could be the end of the world now. But no, seriously, I'm very happy for him. It was a great match, great moment. The photo they posted of him appearing in front of the TV crowd for the first time with the belt, that was a cool pic. He's having great receptions, and as we know, he can perform in the main event and step up, as he's done in all those unsuccessful title shots, and he will now presumably do defending the belt. A long-time Ring of Honor fan, historian, author of the Column of Honor, person who's written about Jay Briscoe an awful lot and the Ring of Honor World Championship a lot. What does this mean to you? Well, no, just what do you think about it?
Well, personally, I believe that... never mind. Not going to go into the Miss America impersonation right there. I think it was... interesting. It was definitely a surprise, definitely a shock, and in that way, then it was that was a positive. It felt in some way like when they pulled the trigger on Eddie Edwards winning the title, and no one saw it coming, and it was a very pleasant surprise. And just reading from the reports that how well received it was, and all the positive reaction, then it's very good. Obviously. If you look back in hindsight, you see where they were heading with Jay Briscoe, sort of spearheading the retaliation against Scum, and everyone seemed to be for a long time pushing that Michael Elgin, he's going to be the next world champion, or Kevin Steen's going to hold that title for a long, long time. But, you know, neither one of those things happened. Or even Jay Lethal. You know, I was afraid Jay Lethal might win the title. So were other people for sure. You know, but they put the belt on Jay Briscoe. He's been a tag champion eight times over with his brother Mark. He was in one of the first Ring of Honor matches on the first Ring of Honor show. And though they haven't been, you know, on every single Ring of Honor show because they've had injuries and they've taken a break here or there, they've been consistently dedicated to Ring of Honor since its inception, and they've basically grown up and matured over the years through Ring of Honor and wrestling on the independent scene. So this means a great deal, I'm sure, for the Briscoes and for longtime fans of the Briscoes that they put the title, their major title, on a tag guy who's a predominantly a tag team wrestler. And not that Jay Briscoe hasn't, you know, he's had many remarkable singles matches, and I think I talked last time that one of the first things, big singles matches I saw him in was at the cage match against Samoa Joe. He and Mark were feuding with Samoa Joe for some time during that period, and that was the culmination at our best WrestleMania weekend show in 2004. So Jay's had many, you know, many main event opportunities, both in singles and in tags, and it's great that, you know, they have the confidence to put the title on him and have him carry the company. And he's a great personality. He's got great charisma. And, you know, I don't know how long he'll have the title. He's certainly, you know, babyface champions in Ring of Honor. I mean, Davey Richards aside, because he had a significant run. But for that, there seems to be, you know, guys like Homicide and even Loki who started the title run, you know. Sometimes there's these long title runs and they're precipitated to come after is some short runs. So I don't know how long Jay has with the title, but, you know, that actually helps in the short term, makes him make the title matches exciting. You know, his title match against Adam Cole at Border Wars and any upcoming, you know, a green match, if that comes up, or obviously we can talk about this later, but a match against Matt Hardy seems inevitable. So there's some good opportunities for him, even if his title run is short, even if it's a decent length, you know. I like where, you know, there's potential for Jay Briscoe as champion. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to his family. It's a big opportunity for him. It's well deserved. And I think, you know, obviously for those attending live, it was a great event and definitely made their monies well spent, the ticket and the plane ticket, I'm sure, to come to WrestleMania weekend in New York for that sellout crowd. They gave him something to remember, and that's definitely worth something.
Chris, we have all seen it coming, given the entire Briscoe clan were at ringside.
I guess so. It was definitely worth seeing there live. Ari, as you mentioned, I was one of those people that flew out from the West Coast to see it. I think it was pretty awesome. It was kind of weird because, so I was all the way up, you know, I got general admission, second balcony. So I wasn't, I was on the ground floor, and I'm sure there, you know, there's a lot of excitement down there. I gotta say, reading the people up where I was sitting, it almost felt like none of them expected, and I know that sounds kind of dumb, but I mean, you mentioned that, you know, his family was there, but I don't think a lot of people up in the upper balcony knew that. So when it really to them was a shock. It was kind of weird in the sense that there were a lot of kids, and Ari, I know that you've mentioned in the past that, you know, there seems to be an influx of kids going to Ring of Honor shows, but when I say kids, I mean like there were a lot of teenagers. Particularly, and maybe some of you listening that were there at the show, there was one particular group of like four teens, two couples. They were clearly on dates. Like, they brought their dates to a Ring of Honor show.
Hell yeah.
And it
wow.
Yeah, and the reason why I say it was obvious because you would see the two girls talking, leaving together, going, you know, to the restroom or getting alcohol, come back, and the boys are, and then they were like one row ahead of me. And the two guys were clearly explaining, oh, well, this is what this is what the J-Driller is, and this is why this wrestler is doing this. And it was like the guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder and said, that kid bring his girl to a date at a Ring of Honor show? I just went, Hey, whatever.
To see Dragon Gate, man, and she had the time of her life.
Exactly. So that's the thing, kids. You gotta take your dates to Ring of Honor shows.
The joke about no girls at Ring of Honor shows that used to be is no more because for years, quite frankly, for years now, you go to Ring of Honor shows and the opposite sex is well represented.
Yes. No. It definitely was. There were a ton, and it was funny because some of these girls
even at WrestleCon
title match. And I know it sounds. I sound like I'm rambling, but these girls really got into the title match. So it was fun to see two people that obviously had no interest in wrestling, didn't really know what the product was. Like, they didn't even know what to call Kevin. Like, they were like, who's that guy with the belt? Why does he have a belt? Like, that's how little wrestling fan they were. They didn't even know what the world title belt was. And then just to see them emotionally get into Jay winning was tremendous. They popped up as quick as any of the other fans because it felt important. So it was really awesome to see that live. Great experience. Obviously, I think the libations really helped. There was a ton of alcohol everywhere.
It's the Manhattan Center. That's, it's part and parcel. Absolutely. Yes.
The one thing I found odd was the security there was telling a lot of us to sit down. But then there was this group right in front of where the alcohol was being served. They were standing the whole time. Now, I did recognize a few of them. A few of them were wrestlers. But the others definitely weren't. They were maybe friends or whatever. But security never told them to sit down. But everyone else, man, it was like, I stood up for 5 seconds. Sir, could you sit down, please?
Also not a surprise that both security is both Nazi-esque and completely lax.
Wow.
That is Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, so, no, and it didn't deter from my experience. It was still an awesome time there, but still. Great title match. I don't know. I always thought it was a testament to Joe as how long he was world champion, and he was able to stay a face pretty much the entire time.
Right, one of the few exceptions.
Whereas Danielson or Eric, they had to switch. And
Nigel almost instantly.
And that was kind of circumstances out of his control. I mean, he was in the fans kind of turned on him, so he was like, why not just go with it? I think Jay, short or long, I agree with you, Ari. However long it goes, I think this is a good time.
Yeah, we'll get into that more in a second. Now, Chris, you did attend this show live, which I completely forgot until you mentioned it just now.
Yeah, in fact, it was WrestleCon weekend, too. So Chris and I got to meet for the first time and got to hang out with Jerome and Kevin Ford and Bragg Rude and the infamous TJ Hawk and... a lot of other wonderful people who are attached to the website, and we missed you, buddy. But hopefully next year in Jerusalem or New Orleans, man. It was a great time.
I was pretty ticked off because I asked a friend of mine 11 months ago, "Do you want to go to WrestleMania?" Because he'd just gone to Miami. And he was like, "Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can afford to go again and whatnot." And I was asking people, and no one really wanted to go. And I was like, "Well, I don't really want to go by myself." And then after it, I almost went anyway. Turns out this same friend, he went to WrestleMania this year.
Ah!
I found out by seeing pictures on Facebook. I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, pretty much.
New Orleans, yes, Matt. We will look forward to you in New Orleans.
Yeah, maybe. Chris, why don't you talk to us a little bit briefly about the show in general? Were there any particular highlights that you got a kick out of or just anything noteworthy?
Some of the highlights were obviously some of the fun stuff. I got there relatively late. I didn't see the dark match. But some of the highlights were Shelton Benjamin, Maria Kanellis. So their interaction was seeing it. I don't know how it came across on the iPay-per-view. I haven't rewatched it. But that live, the fans got such a kick because you knew what was going to happen. Between Maria Kanellis kind of reaching behind her, not knowing that it was Shelton, and that just got a huge pop out of everyone because it was so hilarious. Seeing Mike Bennett there was kind of a fun moment. And then, of course, him getting into the fans, I thought was kind of a nice touch because I was praying to myself internally, God, I hope he doesn't laugh up the face aspect that everyone's cheering for him. No, he did exactly what a heel's supposed to do and ran down the fans for being quote-unquote hypocrites. The scum thing, I don't really know. Like I was saying, where I was sitting from, it seemed like a lot of the fans up there had just come. Maybe were slightly familiar with the Ring of Honor product. May not have been. I know that one guy next to me was like, who is that really skinny guy with scum? And I had to explain to him who Jimmy Rave was, and he had no clue.
I should have put Alex Payne.
Yes, I should have just told him that. It would have been the same exact thing. I will say, on our running tally, because I know we're doing it, Matt, Rhino, still again, got cheered. I mean, come.
Hell yeah.
Come on, got Ring of Honor. Just do it. Just turn him.
And the next night, too, against when it was TV up against...
Yes, at the TV tapings. Yeah.
They should just legit...
Got the door and just smash Googles.
Exactly.
They should just legit make Rhino the Brock Lesnar of Ring of Honor. Just kill people and leave, you know?
Oh, at this point, though, I will say, one. So if we were to bring back the Ring of Honor versus NXT thing, Karl Anderson, my God. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I don't know that much about him. I've seen him in New Japan, blah, blah, blah. Man, this crowd knew him because they were calling the spots. They knew what he was going to do. And when he won, it was like the crowd legitimately reacted a lot better than I thought they would. And he's a fantastic wrestler, so I'm glad that people are getting a chance to see him. The Matt Taven title match, it was what it was. But yeah, I enjoyed the crowd. Obviously, this being my first time in a New York Ring of Honor crowd, I was excited. So I don't know. Obviously, that kind of biases my opinion of it. But it was an awesome show, and I had a lot of fun.
Well, that's cool. Hopefully, the entire Ring of Honor fan base are going to have some fun this weekend. That's right. It's high pay-per-view time again, everyone. We're heading to Canada. May the 4th. I'm reading this off the website, and I get confused occasionally between American versus U.S. dates, so I almost got that wrong, but here we go.
Yes, because May 4th is not May 4th in other areas.
No, because it says 0504.
Yeah, they...
So I had to stop and think to myself, shit, that means May 4th. Don't say the 5th of April.
May the 4th be with you.
Language, people. Yeah, there you go. Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, shit, that's my dad's birthday. Damn, I should do something about that. Anyway, Border Wars is happening, and there's some matches, and we're going to talk about them. So strap in, everybody. Special tag team match. It's a challenge match, meaning exhibition, meaning spot fest, meaning I'm on board. Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander against ACH and Tadarius Thomas. Watch these men fly. I don't really know what else needs to be said. I assume CNC get a win because there aren't many teams that are below them on the pecking order, but I'm assuming ACH and Tadarius Thomas are. Ari, do you disagree?
I don't know. I think they're both about even at this point. I mean, it's two high-flying, athletic, young tag teams. I mean, yeah, sure, CNC have been on longer, but, I mean, I think ACH and TD are primed for a huge...
Whoa, now.
Ari! Didn't know you were so angry.
Oh, recording is always the smoothest. Talk to Chris for a minute, and then Ari can maybe come back in a second, but...
Sure.
I was just going to say, but the pure logic of maths... CNC are now Future Shock, which makes ACH and Sagittarius Thomas CNC. So I still am sticking by CNC get the win. Like there can be only one at a time. And then when they graduate to winning some matches, there'll be a new team that loses all the time, even though they're really awesome.
Are you saying QT Marcel and RD Evans won't ever be tag team champions? Is that what you're going
with? I don't think
I
so.
I highly doubt that. Yeah, no. And let's hope it never ever happens. Now, Archibald Peck and the Mysterious Enhancement Stranger, however,
that's a tag team.
A combination right there.
Yeah. You book that tag team to appear live in person. I will lay down money and a lot of it because I don't see how the physics work.
We don't need to get into that whole time travel debate again.
Fish and his brother. What's his brother's name in TNA? The lawyer guy.
Oh God,
Joe Sparks. Yeah. Fish and Joe Sparks versus Archibald Peck and the Mysterious Enhancement Stranger and mixed martial Archie in a 3-on-2 handicap match because that's how it works in TNA.
There you go. I actually genuinely read reviews of Impact a few months ago.
Where genuinely, the guy, Matt. You really did it.
The guy genuinely did not know that Joseph Parks was Abyss. I was like, what the fuck? You're covering wrestling. Wow. Do your job. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, we should talk about Ring of Honor here. I agree with you. I think Coleman and Alexander get the win. I think it's funny to note that at the Wrestling is Care or Wrestling Cares show, I believe it was Coleman, he flew so high that he hit a chandelier. And I think that just says everything about these high flyers. Now, I don't know how...
Maybe it was a low-hanging chandelier.
Exactly. I was just about to say, I don't know how low-hanging the ceiling is. But still, we're going to see some crazy stuff out of these four guys. It's going to be fun. I don't see how anyone could not be excited for this matchup, especially ACH. Man, that kid is over. And by kid, I mean that very respectfully. But, I mean, he is going to be a tremendous talent going forward.
I'm with ACH and TD because I like them both.
Is Flew So High He Hit a Chandelier a rap lyric? Is it some kind of youth? I'm not down with the kids, but, I mean... It sounds like it means something. Anyway, CNC for the win. Moving along swiftly now. I'm surprised this is so low down the card, but it's ROH versus Scum in a tag team match. The condition... I'll go through the match first, and then I'll tell you the condition. Unbreakable Michael Elgin and Jay Lethal are taking on two members of Scum of Steve Corino's choosing. Elgin and Lethal are both kind of contending for the world title at the moment. They're both in this war with Scum. And I can't remember what's in it for Elgin and Lethal. If Elgin and Lethal win, Steve Corino can't wrestle anymore. But if Scum win, then Matt Hardy gets a world title shot. Chris,
isn't it that Scum leaves?
Yeah.
I thought it was just Steve Corino. I didn't think it was Scum overall.
I just saw the TV episode and it was worded very oddly.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anyway, it's hard to say who it's going to be.
And I did want to point something out about that. That is so dumb that it was essentially Steve Corino putting Nigel in a spot as if Scum had all the leverage. And then saying on top of Matt Hardy getting a title shot, and you have to put me on commentary, and Nigel just kind of gives in. And it's like,
I want green M&Ms.
Yeah, and it's like, and I want better catering. It's like, why aim so low, Steve Corino? Why don't you just ask for the world? Because it was so dumb seeing Nigel in a position when you knew Nigel had all the power, and then he kind of gives in to all the demands. It was like, that's ridiculous. But anyway.
It's kind of hard to say who Team Scum will be because on the list of wrestlers signed to appear, it just says Scum. So I don't know if Matt Hardy is going to appear.
I would assume Hardy and Jacobs because neither of them have matches anywhere else on the card.
I was going to assume Rhino would definitely be one of them.
Oh, yes. No, that's true.
Steen doesn't have a match.
Yeah, but Steen's not Scum, so he's not getting involved.
Is he not?
Unless he is.
Is he not?
Did you not watch the Ring of Honor television episode where this happened?
No. Genuinely, is he quite Scum?
Yes, Matt. Okay, so essentially...
That's okay, because that's the only episode I've seen in 3 months.
Okay, so essentially what happened, Steen kind of called out Steve Corino. Corino said, you know what, we're going to go with Hardy, not you. You're not the man for us anymore. And then Scum beat up Steen. No one came to Steen's aid, and then Steen says... Before he got beat up, he told them, I can walk, my way, you guys can go yours, or you can do something you're all going to regret. Kind of foreshadowing that Steen is going to have to fight his way through the locker room and tell the guys, hey, I'm sorry, can you please help me against Scum? But yeah, Steen is no longer with Scum. I think they kind of gave the impression that he's on a sabbatical. Like he's not, he is still on the Ring of Honor roster, but because he got beat up, blah, blah, blah.
Lost his smile.
Yeah, he lost his smile. Yes. Okay. So,
Didn't lose his appetite, though. But two members of Scum, I would guess, Rhino.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Come at me, bro. No, I love Kevin Steen. Come on. We all love Kevin Steen. Shit, he probably listens to us now because he appeared on one of our podcasts. Kevin, I love you, man. Anyway.
Don't listen to him, Kevin. He doesn't like you at all.
Jesus. Anyway, Rhino and... maybe Matt Hardy, maybe the Jimmies, maybe Rhino and Jacobs, maybe Rhino and Matt Hardy. I think they teamed
together.
Yeah, it's
funny. Rhett is the only one with an official match, which is, well, I mean, it's Rhett. Not saying anything against him, but, and it makes sense. So
we are just all about building these bridges between us and the talents, aren't we? Anyway, the prediction to me seems quite obvious. I don't know. I've said stuff's quite obvious before, and I was completely wrong. But to me, it's looking like Jay Lethal turns on Michael Elgin because they've got a mini rivalry going, and then he agrees to join Scum on some kind of condition of you're going to get a world title shot or something. Or now that Kevin Steen's gone, I mean, your problem was mainly with him, so you could join us, and you feel that you've been screwed over by Ring of Honor, so come join Scum, Jay Lethal. And Matt will give you the first shot when he wins the title, inevitably. Something like that, I don't know. But it seems very obvious Scum are going to win, and I think Jay Lethal is going to turn on Elgin and join Scum. And the fact that this says two members of Scum of Steve Green choosing, they could just do this as a really quick angle, and like the match never even starts, and he says, my first member's Rhino, my second member's Jay Lethal, and it's just a 2-on-1 or something crazy like that. I don't think they'll do that, but I do think Jay Lethal is going to turn on Elgin. Chris, what do you think?
Oh yeah, and I'm just hoping Scum wins just for the pure fact that we will get Steve Corino on commentary and I'll never have to hear Caleb Seltzer again.
Did you know he dated Jay Lethal's mother? He said it about 73 times.
Caleb Seltzer dated Jay Lethal's
mother. I was just about to say. But you know, that's why I'm pulling for Scum to win, and I think it's obvious that Scum's going to win. Yeah, the Lethal thing, we've talked about it before, guys. It just, Elgin and Lethal have been tied together for a little bit now, and it just feels like we're, maybe not now, but it does feel like it's going to happen soon.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, this match is the biggest no-brainer since JB Richards won the world title, so.
I thought he was going to retain.
So you were wrong, Matt. I agree with you though. Jay Lethal's gonna turn on Elgin, or they have some sort of disagreement. Maybe if not an outright turn, he's gonna get rid of them and walk out. Something's gonna happen, it's gonna cause them to lose. No way Scum is losing this. Steve Corino's coming back on commentary. Matt Hardy's getting the title shot. And, let's all prepare for the inevitable, folks. Matt Hardy is gonna be the next Ring of Honor World Champion, whether you like it or not. So, get ready. Get ready. It's gonna happen.
It's going to happen. Because you can put Matt Hardy's name on a poster and people apparently know who that is.
Yeah, apparently that draws, that'll put asses in seats. And
I heard he did an indie show. I heard he did an indie show recently and he got nothing but cheers and like positive reception. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
That happens. I mean, he is popular and I mean, people know his name, so that is always a plus.
Yep.
It's just, I don't know. This is a debate for another time because there is a lot going into it.
Hey, man. Right.
For another time,
14 years ago,
that time is coming soon. It's very, very soon. So don't worry about it. In fact, you don't have to argue about it. You don't have to debate. Just accept it. Just accept it, Chris. It's happening.
Yep.
Does this also mean I have to accept that at one point we're going to get a Ring of Honor World title again in a ladder match because it's Matt Hardy?
So. Not only that, but you know how Jeff Hardy remade his TNA title in his own image when he was a bad guy? Get ready for V1 world title from Ring of Honor. No doubt. No doubt about it.
Oh, no.
I don't like your powers of premonition, Ari. You use them for evil.
I'm sorry, man. I can't help but see what I see, man. It is what it is.
Okay. Is Elgin ever going to win the world title, does anyone think? Or is this just an eternal tease?
Swerve Elgin is turning. That's how it's going to work.
That would be the intelligent thing to do. No, he just moved out of the House of Truth. We're not having him in another heel stable. Okay. Let's move along. It's an I Quit match. It's BJ Whitmer. It's Rhett Titus. They teamed. Now Rhett Titus is in Scum. BJ Whitmer doesn't like Scum. BJ Whitmer's never quitting in any match ever, so he wins. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So we're going to agree that they're not going to pull the WWF thing and have a recording of BJ Whitmer saying, I quit, play over? No? Okay.
True. Or someone throws in the towel for him, and then he enters a feud with them.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly, which is exactly what Matt Titus did. Hmm.
Can I just say that throwing in the towel is the worst gimmick in wrestling? Like, why does it, like, unless it's a, if it's an I Quit match and you have, like, an officially sanctioned second, I get it. But you see matches occasionally where they just have someone throw in a towel. And it's like, what the hell does that mean? Like, oh, can
I work for Bob Backlund and Arnold Scarland, and yeah, I just make that work for.
Yeah, it's like, that. Or you could have been sitting front row at a Ring of Honor show and thrown in a towel, because Ari, I know you bring towels to shows, and just throw it in there, and the match is over.
Okay, no, I know. What are you talking about there, son?
It's like someone pointed out at WrestleMania, if CM Punk wants to beat Undertaker, Paul Heyman just punches CM Punk in the face, he wins, he ends the streak. Why wouldn't you just throw in the towel for your client, on like against your client or something? You know what I mean.
Hey, it worked for it worked for Bret Hart, Bob Backlund when Helen Hart, whatever Helen Hart. I almost said Helen Hart. Mad about you, Helen Hart. that's Stu's wife. She threw in the towel, right?
Oh, just glorious.
Yeah, I just made those references. Yeah,
wrestling history, the Ari Bernstein.
mad about you references. That's awesome.
Fun fact: absolutely. Owen Hart's kids. Kids go to the school I used to go to and used to work at. So, not anymore. They're older now, but still. But does that have any bearing on BJ Whitmer's ability to beat Rhett Titus? I don't think it does. Although Scum do have to win all the matches now, so maybe they do literally do that recording thing that you said, and that will make me sad. But generally speaking,
I quit. Isn't it also mean no disqualification? So couldn't Rhino just come in, beat up Whitmer for Titus, and then Titus just cover? I mean, essentially, within the context.
It's an I Quit match.
Yeah, so it's no DQ. So really, all of Scum could come out, beat up Whitmer.
Yeah, but he's not going to quit. Oh, I guess they're going to do this thing where it's quit or pass out. Maybe BJ Whitmer passes out. But he did not quit!
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Made myself ill with that opinion.
The next match is your favorite, though, Matt. I know it.
Yeah, this match won't make me ill if Scarlett Bordeaux is at ringside, because Matt Taven is going to defend the TV title against Chicken Mark Briscoe. Can I just say, calling a man that is so notoriously tough chicken really emasculates him? But anyway.
But it's said with familial love. You know, it is essentially, yeah. Jay calls him that. So, you know.
No one else.
Hopefully no one else.
So the Austin Aries tribute act that is Matt Taven. No, I like Matt Taven. He's a good wrestler. Is going to defend against Mark Briscoe. With Jay in the world title scene, Mark logically must go for the TV title, so that, and then they're going to win the tag belts, and then they're going to have all the belts, and there's a Briscoe dynasty.
Two-man power trip in Ring of Honor, that's awesome.
That would be crazy.
Alcohol-fueled trip.
Yep. Two-man, good luck getting this by our sponsors trip.
Think the sponsors love the Briscoes. Come on, man. Why wouldn't you?
I would hope so. I really also hope that Scarlett Bordeaux is at ringside. Have I mentioned Scarlett Bordeaux as attractive?
Maybe. Only one.
Maybe a couple times there.
So. I'll get over it now. Matt Taven wins. No?
Oh, yeah.
Any hopes, any expectations, any dreams that don't involve Scarlett Bordeaux?
That should be a good match, you know. It's just a match. It's just a match. You know, I'm sure Mark will make... Yeah, Mark will make a pun, you know. I'm sure he'll have his moments, and, you know, the crowd will be behind him. So, you know, this may be the first time Matt Taven ever draws a seat. So there you go, and that would be something.
There you go. Speaking of something, let's get to the controversial part of this iPay-per-view. What was originally billed as Naomichi Marufuji against the American Wolf, Davey Richards? Now, that match has changed. Marufuji injured himself recently. I'm pretty sure he did exactly this the last time he was booked, or maybe Kenta did it, I don't know, but I swear, like, 2 weeks before he was meant to be appearing, or a week before he injured himself, and he was gone for ages, but... anyway, he couldn't make it, so everyone's like, oh, send Kenta, as if not we're going to send the world champion to come job to Davey Richards. Send Morishima, maybe. Maybe, I was thinking, oh, they're just going to send a student.
Nope.
No, none of those things. Not even a Japanese man.
They couldn't even send the bravados. Come on.
The Verados are now going to land really, really far away. It's called WWN-verse. So I don't think they'll ever be back, to be quite frank.
But wouldn't that be amazing? Pro Wrestling Noah Superstar Harlem Bravado.
That'd be great. I love the Bravados. Come on.
That would be awesome.
Harden into dojos and they're kicking ass. So come on. Come on. Absolutely. That is absolutely a one for one replacement for Naomichi Marufuji. You gotta believe that, son. Marufuji. I don't know why I'm saying son so much. Son.
Marufuji used to be so damn good. Anyway. I still think they should have sent Zack Sabre Jr., but instead it's Paul London, everyone. Ring of Honor founding father, Paul London.
Intrepid Traveler, Paul London.
Hybrid Dolphin, Paul London.
He must bring the Space Owl. I don't know if the Space Owl is still in existence. If not, I will accept the Swap Monster as a substitute. But yes, this is going to be awesomely wacky. Loving it.
It probably is. Davey has this sense of humor recently.
Haven't they faced in PWG before, though? I have to look this up now after the show, but
probably, who knows?
I feel like I've seen them wrestle on a match before. I think. I could be wrong.
I don't think so.
Yeah, see, now I want to go look it up. Anyway, though, yeah. Anyway, fun time. An Intrepid Traveler versus an American Wolf.
There you go. Paul London is determined to use silver bullets. Ring of Honor rulebook has banned him from doing so. So instead, he's going to have to do a shooting star press and super kick.
Into
space, yeah. This is weird. London does have the Ring of Honor history. I was not a Ring of Honor fan at the time where he was sort of running wild and going against Danielson and whatnot. So
Epic Encounter is a tremendous event. You guys really do need to watch that. If there's any show you need to watch from way back in the day,
absolutely. Well, okay. To be honest, wasn't the main event like a huge grudge blood feud war between like Dusty Rhodes's people and like the Carnage crew against Homicide's people? I don't
know. Skip that part and just
it was pretty now, it got pretty ugly.
When you say Homicide's people,
what do you mean, you people?
There you go,
Pat.
I mean, you people need to watch Paul London against Davey Richards.
Ask you guys a question though about this? I guess Matt, you first, since I just interrupted you and that was so rude. But how do you think of how ROH is pushing this? Because it really doesn't feel like they're making the most out of it. And most of the response I've seen, while some people are, a little bit, they're not happy that, oh, why didn't Noah send another person? But they are kind of excited to see Paul London back. And I just feel like Ring of Honor is missing the boat on something.
Well, I heard good things about his appearances in PWG. He was very popular in his tag team with El Generico a couple of years ago, and then he just completely disappeared. I heard he was wrestling in Australia for a while, and he's back, and he's in PWG, and now he's going to be in Ring of Honor. So I don't know. I don't dislike Paul London. I think he's sporadically been very, very good, but he's just also kind of a loose cannon, and it would have been fine if it was just, oh, we've also got Paul London, but for him to be the replacement for Marufuji, I'm not entirely, I don't know, I don't know.
I'm not happy that there's no one else from Noah coming in, because I think it's a wasted opportunity, and finally, after all this time, Marufuji was coming back, but you know what, it was an unfortunate circumstance. You know what, for once in a long time, Ring of Honor actually went and did something really cool and special and unique and outside the box. And, it's made this sort of, work. I like Paul London. I've been waiting for him to come back to Ring of Honor for years. So, I know it was a lot of it, I think, on him after reading interviews and hearing what he had to say about, how Ring of Honor had changed. But, he never say never in wrestling. So, for London to come in and do a couple shows, it probably doesn't mean anything in the long term, but hey, it's a really nice thing for us longer term fans. And those are, people who know London from the WWE days. And, I think there's a lot, like I said before earlier, there's a lot of potential for something like this. Because it's just, again, it's different, it's out of the box, and it's a good treat, you know. So Marufuji can't come. I mean, there's nothing they can do to change that. I didn't expect them to bring in Kenta anyway. So, yeah. You know, Morishima was a longer shot. But, you know, Pro Wrestling Noah is running so thin on the roster that, you know, I'm assuming they couldn't spare anybody or just things could be worked out. And if something can be worked out for the future, hopefully it can. And, you know, then that, you know, then even better. But for right now, I don't mind London coming in. I think they'll put on a really good match.
Who do you think is going to win, though?
Richards. I mean, you know, Richards is the stalwart right now, the mainstay. And you know, despite, you know, whatever jokes or whatever he makes in certain independent promotions, to the contrary, I think he's sticking around for a little bit longer. I think the Wolves are, you know, they have a plan for them for this year, and I don't think, you know, things will change much. You know, I will be shocked if things do change in that regard, but I would give the win to Richards because I don't think they're going to keep London around after this weekend. I think it was a nice treat, and I don't expect it to be long-term. So, no, Richards over, keep him strong. But have a competitive match.
Yes. Chris, do you think anything to the contrary or anything to add?
Nope. Pretty much the same thoughts there. You know, nope. Richards is the ring, you know, he's the guy in Ring of Honor right now, so why have London go over? And then London is facing Elgin at the TV tapings. That's going to be a fun match.
That is going to be fun.
Yes. Small guy, big guy, fire versus powerhouse. Always works.
Well, none of us have seen it, but there are just rave reviews about London's match against Steen at All Star Weekend 9. So, you know, this is pretty much going to be Ring of Honor's version until they do. Maybe London versus Steen. So
yeah,
anyway,
probably. Ari briefly mentioned the word strong, which has just reminded me. Roderick Strong is booked for the show but has no match. What do we think? Does he squash a Canadian? Does he kill Tyson Dukes? Is there an angle? I mean, I don't know. Revealed quite subtly by not knowing if Kevin Steen is in Scum or not. I haven't been keeping up with the TV again. So I don't know if Strong is saying anything one way or the other about what he's doing at the moment, but
He's in an interesting spot because he faced Pepper Parks at the TV tapings. He faced, you know, he is a heel, but he's not at the same time because there's no real definition of what he's doing. He's just kind of Roderick Strong, former Ring of Honor world champion, grand champion, blah blah blah, and he's beating up guys. So I don't know if they're trying to repackage him or they just have nothing for him to do.
Is it time for a Roderick Strong face turn? Does he help Elgin against Scum? Oh god, what if he saves Elgin from Scum after Lethal turns on him? Nah, I think you keep him away from Elgin. But
I could see, to be honest, I could see him trying to get back to the title division and going up against Matt Taven and his old buddy Truth. That would be an intriguing little tete-a-tete there. I think, you know, I wouldn't mind it being time for a strong face turn, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be strong, you know, being a goody two-shoes. He's just strong, but he's beating up heels, so he's the de facto face.
Right, which is pretty much how it was when he was turned face, actually.
Yeah.
It was super heroic he did. He beat the crap out of people and had awesome matches until he got corrupted by the Truth. And, you know, that was fine. It worked out really well.
It's literally never not good when Roddy breaks people's backs and kicks them in the face and...
I did just forget something. He is kind of feuding with Mike Mondo. On TV. Yeah, they keep having them to have scuttles, but nothing really definitive. I mean, they're kind of cutting promos on each other. Well, Mike was cutting promos on Strong. Strong hasn't really retaliated. Man. Yeah, it's weird.
To forget that Mike Mondo has ever been a part of Ring of Honor, so I'm not surprised I didn't remember that at all. No offense.
And another thing. Anyway, Roderick Strong's on the card, but who knows. But we were talking about Davey Richards against Paul London and how it's meant to be Marufuji. We do still get one Noah star, and that is Taiji Ishimori, famous for his crazy backflip elbow, the superstar elbow, plus loads of other moves. Just that one's pretty cool. He is the current GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion, and he's taking on Die Hard Eddie Edwards. This is not a title match, I don't think. It's just billed as Noah versus Ring of Honor.
Non-title.
There you go. So, Eddie Edwards is allowed to win, but I don't think he will. I'm not sure. Ishimori is, he's facing Strong the next night on TV. So I think if he wins one and loses the other, I think he beats Strong and loses to Eddie, but I don't know. My gut says he beats Eddie Edwards here. I'm not really sure why, but I just think he will. There you go. I don't need any deep analysis. I just think he will beat Eddie Edwards in what should be a really, really good match. Chris, what are your thoughts on this encounter?
Yeah, I agree that I have the same reasoning. I don't know why, but it doesn't feel that Ishimori being a Noah champion, not saying that Eddie Edwards is a bad person to lose against, but it just doesn't feel like he should. Yeah. But I also kind of want to say, had it been Marufuji versus Richards and Marufuji went over, then Edwards would have gone over. But now that we have London versus Richards, maybe Edwards goes over, or maybe they go to a time limit draw, because they're both very good talents. I mean, man, this is one of the matches I'm looking forward to the most, and obviously given its status, that's rightfully deserved. So, yeah, I don't know, but it's going to be fun. But I'll go out there and just say that Ishimori is also going to win.
Okay.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say Eddie Edwards wins a non-title match to set up a future match in Japan where he challenges for the title over there, which he will then lose. But I do think this is going to be a really good Ring of Honor style work rate match, which is more great in the competition and the back and forth pacing and the moves and stuff that a lot of us really like, and it's definitely, I think, the direction to take with a guy who is only going to be there for 22 appearances. I'm thinking that he wins against Strong and loses here. It was really weird to see that last time when they had a guest, Carl Anderson, that he went over on TV. So I have a feeling they might want to put over a couple of the guest stars on TV and then bring them back at future dates and, have those guys, because they went over before, have them a little bit more over to different audiences. And then they, have those guys lose to the established Ring of Honor stars. I think that's what the strategy they're looking to do.
And who knows how much longer Noah's going to be around anyway. So.
Yeah, fortunately. Yeah. Well, let's cross those fingers, maybe they'll still, because we gotta have Kenta come in at some point, obviously. One can dream.
Yep.
Oh, it wasn't gonna happen this time, but you never know in the future.
Maybe if Noah folds, he takes a year excursion to America, like Tozawa or something. Nah, I'm pretty sure New Japan and All Japan swallow that company whole. Anyway, speaking of nothing, just the main event is the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Were you going to try and make another Kevin Steen joke, Matt? I mean, honestly.
No, I genuinely wasn't, but thank you for reminding anyone of that.
I just don't like Kevin Steen, do you?
So Jay Briscoe is the new Ring of Honor World Champion, and he's going to defend his title against Adam Cole, the Panama City Playboy. You can catch him in his latest Ring of Honor DVD release, Panama City's Finest, is that what it's called? Something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Featuring many, many good matches. And isn't it missing the, Adam Cole, Davey Richards match?
Was that last year from Rising Above?
It's missing some kind of, really big Adam Cole match. And I was like, why would you leave that off? But anyway. I think Adam Cole is easing into the heel thing in Ring of Honor as well, or is he not? Correct me if I'm wrong.
He's not a heel, he's just a very, he's kind of up, and he went into Jay Briscoe's face and everything, but I mean, as a challenger, he would do that.
Right.
So
he's just starting to show a little bit more, he's starting to show a little bit more aggression and be a little bit less of a pansy waste like he has been last year, so I'm okay with that.
I just they need to use the Adam Cole that's in PWG talking so well, wrestling so well.
They need the Dojo Bros in Ring of Honor.
The Dojo Bros. I was going to suggest it idly and say, hey, Roderick Strong's on the card, Adam Cole, Eddie Edwards, screw the American Wolves. God, I love the Dojo Bros. Anyway, now, if Adam Cole was a full-blown heel and he were to take Jay Briscoe's title and Jay Briscoe's first defense and Matt Hardy gets the shot, and Matt Hardy and Adam Cole have history. Doesn't quite work because Adam Cole in my scenario is a heel and Matt Hardy's a heel, so that doesn't quite work. But hypothetically, if Adam Cole beat Jay Briscoe, does that hurt Jay Briscoe's legacy as champion, or is the moment of winning it enough? By the way, I think Jay Briscoe's retaining. This is just an exercise in talking. But Ari, do you think it hurts Jay Briscoe's legacy if he loses to Adam Cole on his first defense?
That's a tough question, man. No, don't apologize. This is what we're here for. We're here for the tough questions.
Yep.
I would say the win itself, it would be a homicide-like situation where the win itself was extremely important and well-received and will always be remembered in history for those who attended there. And it'll be a great talking point, but the legacy would be hurt because there wouldn't be anything after that. So I think, Jay needs a few tentpole defenses in order to be really considered, you know, having, you know, gone just beyond the initial factor of winning the title and being well received for it. So it hurt him if it was a one and done. Because it also really ever happens in Ring of Honor. So, you know, that makes it, you know, unique in a negative way, I think, at this point. Especially if it's a face that's losing it. I mean, if it was a heel that won the title and then lost in his first defense, and the fans were crazy, that would be fine because you're a heel. It really doesn't, you don't really lose anything off of it in that kind of situation. Yeah, and this one.
Chris, what do you think about the idea of potentially Jay Briscoe losing in his first defense?
I agree with Ari. It would hurt a little bit. Mostly, it would be similar to the homicide situation, but I also feel that they're trying to redefine Jay Briscoe. As we've said before, he is known as a tag team guy, and to just have him, say, go up against, you know, for lack of a better term, tomato can guys wouldn't really help him either. So he needs to have guys like Adam Cole or guys that have kind of a legitimacy. Like, at one point we're going to see, I hope, Briscoe versus Richards. And if Briscoe goes over, this will add legitimacy to Briscoe's, I guess, in-ring credibility. Not that he doesn't have any, but he is a tag team wrestler. So I feel that they do have to let the fans in and say, hey, Briscoe, he's definitely a master of tag team wrestling, but he can go when it's a singles. And we've all seen it. But I think when you're champion, you really got to hit it home. And Adam Cole's just one of those guys that will really help him do that. So I'm going to say, obviously, Briscoe retains. But yeah, this match, I think there's more to it. It can't just be Briscoe winning. The match itself has to be really good.
I agree. Yeah. I think we're seeing we're starting to see in some of Jay Briscoe's promos some new facets of him as a singles champion, as a defending champion, and really step forward and become, you know, the prominent lead character, or at least, you know, one of the lead characters in the upper echelon in the main event. And, you know, like, he seems to be the prime guy now in the Briscoe family as the singles champion, and I think the belt helps make that. And I think I'm really excited to see whatever, you know, in whatever time there is, what these new facets pop out of his act and his interviews, his promos. It's exciting to see, you know, when somebody like when Eddie Edwards won the title, like that really like pushed him forward as well. And you started to see new aspects. They pushed him being like a true diehard in the ring, where you'd almost have to kill him to really get him to lose, and that's exactly what happened. And he really started to take those steps forward to be like an independent, you know, independent of Davey Richards. And, you know, I'm not saying that there needs to be like a Briscoe's tension or anything like that. In fact, I would rather not see that right now. But I do think that it gives me opportunity to do what they did with, you know, in a different era, you know, a couple of years ago with Eddie Edwards. They can now do that with Jay Briscoe and sort of see how the putting the belt on a guy changes the guy and makes him stand out as, you know, and be the better for it.
I do want to bring up something with you two about Jay Briscoe being world champion. This is something I was kind of debating giving any coverage to because I do think that it's – I have a different viewpoint on it, but I want to get your guys' first. What do you guys think about Jay Briscoe at –
stuff like that?
Well, I mean, in terms of – so we all know Jay Briscoe. You know, he tweets, and sometimes he doesn't tweet things that are so, shall we say, PC – or even on viewpoints that some of us may or may not agree with, do you think Ring of Honor kind of took a risk putting him up as their champion? I mean, obviously, we all know SBG owns them. They have sponsors to take care of. They have, obviously, they're almost all of their television, you know, avenue revenue comes from ads. And if this is a company that you own and you're, the people that are on your board know, hey, who's this Jay Briscoe guy and what is he saying on Twitter and da-da-da-da-da, do you think it was a risk?
Matt, you can take that.
Okay. Yes, but not one that I foresee being a problem. I think if they tell Jay, can you stop that a bit? He will do it. I think he realizes that, you know, it's bigger than himself at this point. Like, he's the champion, and these are the things the champion has to do. And, he's a grown man. He's got a child. I think he knows that if he's asked politely to play nice with sponsors, then, I mean, I'm sure he's not going to come out in a suit and tie or anything, but, you know, to tone down the language of the controversy a little bit on Twitter, I'm sure he would do it.
What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think it is it's a small risk, but it's a risk nonetheless. But I don't think it's if he says a negative comment, it's especially on Twitter, unless it really blows up, which I can't foresee that happening. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think something like that would ever really backfire on him. And what's the worst they would do is have him lose the title or fire him? I mean, I don't think that it's a strong enough question to hold the title on him at this point. I think Matt had it 100%. He's gonna play nice and then again, if you think about the board members on SVG or whatever and their reaction, what it might be, I mean, Jay, I think Jay and Mark, weren't they calling CNC Wrestle Factory guys like Shaniqua and Leticia and all that stuff during like the first year of SBG TV? So it's like, you know, they'll make these kind of comments that skirt the line, but I can't see Jay crossing the line right now. I think he knows what he has to do as champion. Yeah. So risk, yes, it wouldn't stop me, I think, from putting a title on him.
Yeah. Right, and that's why I wanted to kind of bring it up, because I know some people that we talk to have voiced the displeasure of him winning the title, and because of these comments he's made in the past that were akin to the comments that Bully Ray made. And obviously, that was obviously at a TV taping, da-da-da. There's so many differences, you know, Twitter being what it is and a TV taping being what it is. But still, you know, I just kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it, because there's something that's out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, stuff happens. CM Punk had that controversy just after... or around random. The time of the Summer of Punk that almost killed everything, but stuff happens, things are said, people. Anyway, the only reason I mentioned this Adam Cole potentially winning thing is I was like, well, I can go Adam Cole, Matt Hardy again, but with the world title on the line. And I thought, because Jay Briscoe, Matt Hardy seems such a random match. How would they do this? And then I thought, well, obviously they're going to do a whole thing of, you're part of this big tag team, the Briscoes. Well, I was part of the Hardys, they're better than the Briscoes ever were, and they're going to do this kind of stupid hypothetical thing of would the Briscoes have beaten the Hardys? And you said that Matt Hardy is going to win that world title, but I think he will, but I don't think he does it first time. And I think, I mean, we're a long way out from it now, but I think they do Briscoe versus Briscoe as the final battle main event. Maybe not was as like a big blood feud of Mark turning on Jay or vice versa, but I think they want that to happen. And I think they wanted, I don't know, it's just something compelling about brother versus brother on a poster of a wrestling show. I don't know. Either of you can disagree with me, but that seems to me like an idea they might consider pursuing.
Yeah, I guess if they consider if they consider Jay a long-term champion to that point, then
yeah, true, it's a long time.
Yeah, it is a ways away. I mean, it's possible, especially if they like do what they usually like to do, which is the slow base play storylines and title changes and stuff like that. I mean, they're not going to do the Matt Hardy title match at the TV tapings in Toronto the next night because the Briscoes already signed to wrestle against the American Wolves. So unless they decide to hotshot it, which I don't know, but I think they might save like Hardy versus Briscoe for a Death Before Dishonor or Roy by Honor, yeah, and have Hardy win the title at that point. I just think it's inevitable. I mean, they rarely wrestle each other these days. They did during one of the TV title tournaments or whatever, and obviously every so often over the years in Ring of Honor, and it's always been good or really great, depending on which match we're talking about. It'd be great to see them wrestle each other in a bit of like a brotherly competition way, but I don't know if they'll do that. I think they're going to get to the Hardy title change or to another title change as very quickly. Not immediately, but within 2 to 3 months, I'd say.
Sure.
Yeah, that match feels more like a best in the world kind of main event. It doesn't really sound like a final battle kind of main event.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe just because it is so soon. If they built it correctly, like Jay's beating all these guys and defending the world title, and maybe Mark hasn't won the TV title and he's kind of floundering, and all of a sudden he, kind of that Bret Hart, Owen Hart kind of deal. So,
I like to see it for best in the world. I think that makes sense.
That does make sense. I forget that show exists because just traditionally the New York shows, in my mind, best in the world is not amongst them because it's a newer event in their calendar, but that does make sense.
Right, it's really only been the last 2 or 3 years Ring of Honor has been putting names specifically for certain events, like we know that Death for Dishonor is October and Glory Bonner's in September.
Well, this year,
kind of finalizing that. So.
Yeah, this year best in the world is in Baltimore. It's not New York. It's been in New York.
But
this year it's in Baltimore. So
that makes sense as a Briscoe versus Briscoe match then, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's June 22nd, and that'll be the next pay-per-view. And before that, they're going to be in Columbus, Charleston, West Virginia, and San Antonio, Texas. Yeah.
I mentioned this Briscoe versus Briscoe idea because they, when they were trying to suggest that Mark Briscoe had a chance of winning the title from Kevin Steen, and he cut that really, really good promo. Jay mentioned, and then you'll have the pleasure of Briscoe versus Briscoe. Just the idea has been in my mind since then, where just they are one of the few sort of teams or brother type things where you can buy them beating the hell out of each other one night and then teaming the next. It's normally they can't possibly fight because then they'll break up. But that's the strength of the Briscoes. They've done it many times. They knocked each other's teeth out, literally. So.
They're wrestling for the tag titles against Red Dragon at the Pennsylvania show in Mount Vernon on May 11th, so that's next week. So, I mean, maybe you can play into, they had challenged for the titles and can't win it, and that could be an impetus or whatever. I'd rather see the Briscoes as allies rather than as a Bret Hart on Hart thing. I just, I don't see it as being a really effective storyline between the two. I mean, you've seen them play out in videos and promos that they'll tease each other or they'll get into mock fights and then people will come break them up. And it's very humorous, but I don't think you can do a jealousy storyline really effectively with them.
I don't think there's a need for it. Anyway.
Also on that show, I just want to quickly note in the Ross Driver Gardens in Bill Vernon, Michael Elgin, let me pronounce him with the G part, or maybe it's a soft G, I don't know. Michael Elgin versus ACH. That match is going to rule.
Oh, yeah. That's going to blow the roof. I mean, I have yet to see the match that they've had in the past, but I've been told it is one of the best matches ever. So even if they just did the same exact match in Ring of Honor, crazy good.
One of the best matches ever in the history of wrestling. Ever. Just ever. Ever. I imagine. And I wouldn't doubt that in the world.
Yes. And on that bombshell, I think it is time to wrap this thing up, unless anyone has any further crazy conspiracy theories regarding Ring of Honor.
No, I'm good.
No?
Honor spelled backwards is Rano.
Rano. Oh my god, it all makes sense. So, I have been Matt Waters. We recorded this on my birthday, so... The birthday boy,
Matt. Happy birthday, Matthew!
Yes, happy birthday.
There you go. I haven't really got a lot to plug at the moment. Keep looking. Oh, wait. No, yeah, I do. MattReviewsAtAll.tumblr.com. I review films and games and music and TV shows and everything, really. So go check that out. I just reviewed Iron Man 3. No spoilers, as one would expect, because I'm not a dick. I review stuff occasionally when I get the time to write about it. So go check that out in terms of non-wrestling stuff. Speaking of non-wrestling stuff, me, Kevin, and Justin recorded another non-wrestling podcast.
Finally!
We just talked in what I thought was going to be the time before we recorded the podcast, and I just happened to be recording. And then we decided, let's just put this up. So it's got no structure whatsoever. It's just us talking about stuff. Do check that out. We may be doing more non-wrestling type projects in the future. In terms of wrestling, keep your eye on pwponderings.com because I will write stuff. I promise you. Ari, have you got things to plug?
No, not really. Just the Twitter, as usual. Twitter.com/ Ari Bernstein, ARIBERENSTEIN, for all my wonderful Paramore appreciation tweets and commenting on Chikara shows that are 8 months old, but
I do enjoy those.
Yes, there you go. And got a response from Sarah Del Rey about praising her being able to see her matches, and that made my day. It was a very tough day, and to see her tweet me back about that was really nice. So props to her. And sure. That's about it. Just checking out in the PW Ponderings universe. That's what we got going on.
And if you're in Brooklyn, just if you see Ari, go up and say hi. Just, randomly.
Sure. That's been known to happen with not with wrestling fans, with former students, sure, not with wrestling fans. But but I guess I should note that it was nice to meet a lot of, like I said again, it was nice to meet a lot of the PWP universe, but also met a lot of readers of the Column of Honor or people who I've communicated with on Twitter. And just, it was really nice to say hey to everybody and really appreciate like any of the praise and stuff. Because, I'm practically retired at this point as a columnist. I've got a couple things here and there every so often. But just for people to say that they read my columns and they like what I had to read, that or had to write, rather, and had to say, it means a lot. And I appreciate it. So it was very nice to meet everyone there. And, thank you very much.
The next time you post a column, I'm going to comment and say, you've still got it. Clap, 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 clap. Right. Chris,
that would be interesting.
As Joey Styles contemptuously said during the One Night Stand pay-per-view, let's pay some bills, which is my way of saying, Chris, plug the website and all of our wonderful sponsors who I love.
Absolutely, and we will definitely pay some bills with this. Everyone, we appreciate you guys listening. We are now officially affiliated with High Spots. If you look on the right-hand side of the website, you will see a High Spots banner. If you click that link, everything you purchase to High Spots will help support PWP. We'll really appreciate that. Or if you just want to bookmark it somewhere on your browser, on your phone, tinyurl.com/PWP High Spots. And that will always allow you to use our affiliate link so that everything you buy from High Spots will help us. And since we already know you're already buying a ton of stuff from High Spots, why not help PWP out in the process? Really appreciate that. Of course, we appreciate all of our other sponsors, including VWAA, CWF Mid-Atlantic, Pro Wrestling Freedom out of Kentucky. You know, we really appreciate them. Pro Wrestling Collision as well out of Carbondale, Illinois. We have a new widget on the side of the website. It's on the right-hand side, right underneath that High Spots banner. You can see events coming up in wrestling. And now this is something we've been trying to do for a while. Didn't really know how to get it, not necessarily started, but we just wanted to make it easier for everyone to access. So we went through a lot of plugins, and we finally figured out on one. So if you check that out, you click on the little links. We have it by date. So coming up exactly, there's a lot of May events. Check those out. Click on them. You get all the details. I would suggest using the full screen view because the partial view doesn't give you all the information that I put in there. You know, sometimes just the matches, sometimes description, stuff like that. So it does have an option to go full screen, and I would suggest using that as well. So check that out and let everyone know. We are trying to make pro wrestling in, you know, wrestling easier to find in your area. So always check that out. And I don't have anything coming up, really. I have a few articles in mind. Some are not completed. But you can always check me out on Twitter at CGSTong. That's CGSTONG. Or leave me an email at CGSTong@pwponderings.com. As always, we appreciate you guys listening. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. Always appreciate that. You can find us on Twitter at PWPonderings and on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Ponderings.
There you go. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to give High Spots my bank details, and they just, as and when they see fit, they can take some of my money, because so many PWG DVDs come my way from them. And I'll help the website that I write for by using that link. Does that compromise my journalistic integrity if I take it?
Absolutely not. It is not a conflict of interest whatsoever, because we're already buying from High Spots. So there you go.
You all should too. You really should. Now I should go to bed, and you should all stop listening to this podcast.
And as we speak, Jay Briscoe has tweeted something homophobic.
Fantastic.
Subconsciously, perhaps. We shall see.
Oh, no.
Perfect. I couldn't write this. What I can write is my farewell to all of you. Goodbye, everyone. This has been the Podcast of Honor. Bye. Production crew that's Wendy and Seuss, and all the local coterie that keeps coming around. 'Cause you know that's how these crazy kids get down. But when the sun goes down, it's like a whole new town. Mysteries abound, and just the place to horse around. Awkward sibling hugs for the brothers and sisters. Do homework, washing dishes, 'cause you know.